All right. So today we're starting this new series called Family Dinner. And for some of you, you showed up thinking there was food involved because we sent out saying that there's going to be some food. But I will tell you is that we are going to talk about something today. We're going to start in, and really this series is all about the different times that food is referenced as we're kind of going into Thanksgiving, right? Today we're going to talk about bread, right? So how many times do you think bread is referenced in Bible? A lot. A lot of times it's referenced in the Bible. I just want to let you know it's referenced a lot. But see, here's the thing. See, bread, I want you to think about something, and for some of you, you are young, and I don't want to classify myself in this age to where I go, it didn't exist this way when I was younger as well. But some of us, you have no idea what a bakery is. Like, you go to a bakery and you just walk in for cakes, cookies, and some pastries or anything like that. But years and years ago, bakeries used to make bread every day. Every single day they would make bread. And guess what you would go get every day? You would go get bread, right? You would show up to go get bread. But here's the thing, they didn't sell it to you sliced. Did you know that? That when you went and bought bread in the past, you would get it and it would be just a loaf. You would get a loaf of bread. And then the Wonder Company came out and started this one thing called sliced bread. Sliced bread. In fact, if you look at a Wonder Bread package today, it still says on the side of it, sliced bread. And where you would get this is that, anybody ever heard, that's the greatest thing since? Well, now you know where it came from, right? It came from the Wonder Company. Then Wonder was bought by Hostess, and then it became the All-American Bakery Company, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the thing. We're going to step back to before where sliced bread was a thing. We want to go back hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and the reason why is because when Jesus talked about bread, it was something that you pursued daily. You would get up daily going, we're going to go to the bakery, we're going to go get bread, we're going to make bread, we're going to pursue this every single day. It wasn't one of those things that you went a day without bread. You didn't go to the grocery store, you would make it. You would go to a bakery, you would go to some place. It did magically appear for some time. It was called manna for a while, it fell from the heavens. But you would go get it on a regular basis. So here's what it says. So when we go into Scripture, we're going to look at this, and it says, Jesus just gets finished feeding 5,000 people, right? And he fed them two things, right? We should understand he fed two things. And he miraculously feeds them, and here's what Scripture says. It says, Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with fish. See, bread is a reminder of God's provision. That's what it is. Bread is a reminder of God's provision. And so if you are following along, taking notes, that's what the fill in the blank is supposed to be. For some reason, we haven't changed that. But bread is a reminder of God's provision. And so when you start to think about this, start thinking about manna coming from heaven, right? God's delivering. And so if you're 2,000 years ago, and what is a key component of your diet on a regular basis is bread, this is something that's saying this is God's going to provide for you. He's going to deliver bread. He's going to at least give you this. See, in this case, there was fish involved as well. But for most of us, you were not promised steak, right? You see, here's a big thing is that we have gotten to this point, this accustomed of this Midwestern diet. So some people in here, the Midwestern diet is steak and potatoes, if you're ever wondering about that. So the Midwestern diet is that you've become accustomed to steak and potatoes. But if you talk to somebody who grew up prior to the 1950s, that is not something that was a regular basis. It just wasn't. You didn't see steak and potatoes except for occasionally because you couldn't afford steak and potatoes. You just couldn't afford it. What you saw a lot of stews, and you saw a lot of soups, and you saw a lot of breads, and you saw a lot of nothing. You saw empty plates is what you saw. And see, what happens is we've gotten to this culture that we're supposed to have these things, and we're going, why are we so broke? Why are our budgets? Why is all of this going on? Why is it that we're spending $600 a month on groceries? only. Why is it that we're here? Why is it that we're at this point? Why is it that we're spending this amount of money here? And see, the problem is because you've gone away from my daily bread of bread, and you've gone into steak, lobster, like, I mean, whatever it is. What you can just put in whatever, because I don't really eat steak all that often now, and I don't eat lobster at all. But eggs are kind of a staple. You can have eggs in your backyard. I mean, you can just have them grown on a regular basis, right? You can have those. But this is a reminder. Bread is a reminder of God's provision, is what it's saying here. Because when you read Scripture, Matthew 6:11, it says, "Give us today our daily bread." Give us today our daily bread. And see, what we do is every day we have to acknowledge this dependence upon Jesus of our daily bread. God, give us today our daily bread. Give us our provision of today. Give us what we require. Give us that our physical sustenance so that way we can move forward. And we forget often that it's something that we need daily. Right? We need physical substances daily. And I know that some of you, you're like, Mike, you don't understand. I'm gluten intolerant. Can't eat no bread. Or Mike, I'm gluten intolerant. I can't eat cupcakes. Okay, well, I said bread, not cupcakes. Or whatever. But see, I get it. But what we're saying here is that this provision, what we're really talking about is spending time with Jesus at this point. We not only do this provision that we need as far as physical substance, we need the spiritual substance as well. We need this. The daily bread serves as our reminder of God's faithfulness. That's what it really is, and his continuous provision for us in our lives. See, the other thing, bread also is a nourishment to our bodies and souls. You know, when you look at Scripture, let's just look at Matthew 4:4. And it says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." See, as we partake on food to nourish our bodies, we must also seek that spiritual nourishment at the same time. Jesus reminds us. He's like, you can't just survive on bread alone. It just doesn't work that way. You can, now, I mean, think about it. Anybody in here, if you're like me, if I can't find anything in the cabinet, I have absolutely no issue grabbing the loaf of bread, taking out six slices, and buttering them bad boys up and calling that dinner. Anybody? Right? Right? I have no issue with that. But you know that you can't survive on that alone, right? You know, you're not going to make it that way. One, you're going to be like, why am I putting on weight only eating six slices of bread every day? I don't understand what's happening here. But the other thing is, you will start to find that you will become malnourished. You'll be like, why is my hair falling out? Like, I don't understand. Why is it that I'm dealing with this? I don't understand why these things are happening. Well, it's because you're not eating a fulfilling diet. You know, there's nothing else except for bread, which is just a filler. You're just intaking calories, right? A caloric intake. That's it. That's all you're getting. Just enough to give you energy to get through, but not enough to actually nourish your body. It's the same thing that Jesus is saying. He's saying you just can't live on that alone. You have to have other things, but what you really need is what comes from the mouth of God. That's what you need. You need this nourishment for your soul, you need this spiritual nourishment of God's word. That's what you have to have. The next thing is, bread is a symbol of our connection with Christ. Bread is a symbol of our connection with Christ. You know, when you look at John 6, verse 35, it says, "Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." See, in John's gospel, he proclaims himself as the bread of life. See, just as physical bread sustains us, he sustains our spiritual life. He's the one that sustains our souls. He's the one that brings us in. He's the one that gives us this constant connection with God. And, you know, and so as you look through this, and we took communion earlier, as you take this is your constant connection with Jesus, with God. It's your restoration. It's one of those things that brings you in. It's like all the time, it's like you sit there and you start to see it, and you say, well, how is this? And this is how we find true satisfaction as we spend time in this. You know, I know we call this family dinner, but just really think about this. Really start to think about going, how, like when you start to look at how this season is going to change. So, I mean, just think about us. We're going into Thanksgiving season, right? You know, this is a time of family and families coming together. And maybe you don't even have family. Maybe it's just like, it's just you, you know, or maybe it's just you and this church family, or maybe it's just you and whatever. You know, maybe you're just trying to figure it out. Maybe you're just trying to go, hey, this is what we need. I would sit in a chair, but I don't have one, so I'm going to sit on the front of the stage here. I hope you guys are all right with that. So here's the thing. What we're going to find is we're going to find either people are going to fall off from church, fall off from spiritual engagement, fall off from a lot of things because they're not being nourished. They're just not being nourished. They're not getting their daily bread. They're not getting their time with Jesus. They're not getting any of those things. They just fall off. You know, I use the joke and the analogy, you miss church one week, hey, we'll see you the next week. You miss church two times, you know, you all of a sudden become an occasional attender. You miss 3 weeks in a row, you don't even attend the Edge anymore. You're gone. You know, you're just like, you're just not part of the church anymore. And see, what happens is we start to lose that connection. We start to lose our feeding, right? We start to lose that spiritual connection. And the problem is that as you look around the room, the church has lost its spiritual connection with people. There's lots of people that we've lost our spiritual connection with, whether it's because of my doing or because of moving or because of whatever, but we've lost our spiritual connection with people. And so that means that people are not getting fed. They're not only getting their relational nourishment, but they're not getting their spiritual nourishment as well. They're just not even connected with God any longer. See, that's the problem. Most people, when they leave a church, they don't go into another church. Oftentimes, they just stop attending. They'll leave, and it doesn't matter if it's this church or any other church. They'll just stop attending church at that point. They'll just go off, and they'll find something that'll occupy that time. It could be that they start taking their kids to softball. They start doing this. They spend more time at Great America or Six Flags or any of those things. They'll just occupy that time and make it to where they stop being fed spiritually. And then all of a sudden, they'll end up spiritually dry. They'll end up being malnourished. They'll end up starting to go, why is it that I don't feel God? Why is it that I don't feel this? And see, here's the problem that I've had to come to this realization of. It goes, it's not just my responsibility to try and feed everybody. I'm the person that would lead the horse to water, and they'd be like, I don't want to drink that. I'd be like, oh, you're going to drink it. You're going to drink it. And so I used to carry a funnel with me, right? And I'd shove that funnel down their throat, tip its head back, and just start pouring water. And the problem would be is that then they get angry with you, right? And I've been kicked a few times by a horse or two. And by a horse, I'm not referring to people as horses, but people are like horses sometimes. You can lead them to the word, and if they don't want to drink it, and you force it on them, they're just going to kick you. That's just how it is. And so I've been kicked a few times. And so I've come to this realization that me being kicked has made it to where I've stopped trying to lead as many people to the water as I should have been. I've just stopped leading them to the water. I've just gone, you know what? I'll just, those that show up, they show up. I've stopped inviting people to partake of the bread. I've stopped inviting people, because like I'll go to Walmart. You guys got to know I'm a shopper, right? You know, I'll go to Walmart. I look at the cashier. I'll be nice. I'll be friendly. Hey, how you doing? How's things going? How's things been? Never once has it come out, hey, you should come to church and really meet the bread of life. It doesn't come out. Or it could be that I'm at the gas station, or I get angry, or I'm at this thing, or whatever it is. Or even in my own home, where it can come off as anger when I'm trying to go, hey, you need to be in church. You know, like you have some kids that they're not partaking in the word that they should be. You know, they're just not. And if you guys know my kids at all, my kids, they used to know scripture inside and out, and now they're like, you know, hey, we're kind of in it, but they're not. Those are all things that I have to carry the responsibility of going, is that I have not been providing them the bread that's necessary to sustain them. And so what I ask you is that, have you been provided the bread that needs to sustain you? If you have been given it, have you been sharing it with somebody else, the bread to sustain them? Because we need to spiritually be feeding and we need to spiritually be continuing. And because what happens is oftentimes we become just consumers. Instead of going back to 2,000 years ago, where you had to go, I got to go get bread. I've got to get up. I've got to make it a mission. I got to go to the store. I got to go to the bakery. I got to go do this, or I got to cook it, or whatever it is. We've gotten to this point where we're spiritual consumers, and we just go to Lucky's, Albertsons. We just go to some place, and we go, I'll just take my bread now, and I'll walk out. We've become spiritual consumers rather than those that are seeking and going, I have to go get the bread. I have to go take care of it. We just expect it to be on the shelf at Walmart or Raley's or wherever we're shopping at. We're not pursuing it like we're supposed to be. And we're not having those around us pursue it the way that they're supposed to be. It's a hard realization when you walk into a church and the guy goes, hey, I've sucked at doing this, and you probably suck at it too. And so for me to go, welcome to the edge where everything is magical, perfect, and I'm here to make you feel good. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here for us to actually have this mindset of going, how much have we become spiritual consumers going, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, rather than going, I'm supposed to be pursuing Jesus as if he is the bread of life. And see, that's the problem. That's the hardest thing that we've gotten so comfortable just existing. We've gotten so comfortable just going, I'll just go to the store, or I'll have Amazon deliver it, or I'll have this do it, or I'll have that. Guys, we've forgotten that it is hard. It is hard to be a follower of Christ. It is hard to go out and do this. It's hard to go out and to be the person who's actually kneading the bread and making the bread and trying to make it to where other people get it. It's hard because we've gotten so to the point where it's on constant automation. It just automatically happens. And that's how we expect to have our Jesus delivered to us, on automation. I'll tell you, if we were to start up an Amazon service and called it Jesus Delivers, all of a sudden we'd be the number one person. Because we just deliver Jesus to the door. And people would be ecstatic about that. We should just do it. Actually, now I'm going to start writing the plan for this.
I think the Jehovah's Witnesses already did that.
They might have. They just deliver the wrong message. They deliver the wrong message, though. That's all. But see, here's the thing, is that we that's how we want it. We want it delivered to us. We want it just forced, and it's like we've gotten to this. We've just missed out on so much. And so for me, like I love to laugh and joke through service, and I love to make it to where you have this spiritual nugget to go out and be like, this is what it is. But here's the two things that you're going to walk away with from today. One, Jesus is the bread of life, okay? Let's just go like that. So you need that bread of life in order to exist, okay? So that's number one. And to get that, it's not going to be just Wonder Bread being delivered to you. It's going to take some work. It's going to take something that you're going to have to physically open up the Bible. You're going to have to spend some time. It's going to be massive amounts of distractions. Your kids are going to get in the way. Your spouse is going to get in the way. People are going to say, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? All these things. Okay, that's going to be the heart. That's number one, right? In order for you to get to the bread of life, it's going to be difficult. And the second thing is, the bread of life is meant to be shared. I just want you to know that. It's meant to be shared. So if you think about this, if you go and talk to somebody, even today, right? If you go and you said, hey, guess what? I just consumed a whole loaf of bread by myself. What do they think? I mean, what do they think? You're like, boy, I didn't see why you got as big as you did. It's just how it goes, right? I didn't see why you're so big. I understand. We call people that are big, right? We call them corn-fed, don't we? That's a big corn-fed dude. Why? Because he eats all the loaves of bread. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be a loaf of bread. It's sliced because it's meant to be shared with other people in your household, with other people around you. You're not supposed to just devour. It's called a muffin if it's for you. It's a loaf for everybody else. And what's happening in the background? We're just like blowing through screens. I just see it keep changing. I'm like, what is happening here? It's all good. I see every time they do something, I see it up here. I'm like, what is happening? It just looks a little different. Oh, okay. Oh. I put a message in there, is why. It was something for. It was my fault. It was. I saw it. I did it too. It's my fault. It wasn't anybody else's. I'll take full responsibility. It's my fault. But. So, What a good way to throw your train of thought. That's good. Perfect. Well, I'm just going to start at the beginning. Is that okay? I'm just going to get my notebook. No. So here's the thing. It's meant to be shared, right? It's not meant for you to consume all on your own in one setting. And it's meant to be daily pursued. Every day. Every day. And see, we're not as privileged as the Israelites were as they escaped the desert, right? As they were in the desert, as they were wandering, it just doesn't fall from the sky. But even as it fell in the sky from them and manna was delivered from the sky, guess what they had to go do? They had to go get it. Each and every day. And you know what they couldn't do? They couldn't get too much, and you couldn't store it up. You know what would happen the next day? It would not be bread any longer. It would be penicillin. They didn't know it back then, but that's what it was. But see, that's the thing, is that and that's the problem, is that some of you, not all of you, you think that you can get your filling of Jesus just today. Just today. You're like, I got my filling. My guy was at church. You gave me the bread, and I went out. And see, here's the thing, though. You got to understand something. Tomorrow, this message will be moldy. It won't be as good. It'll be a little distasteful. And so you have to go and get some more. You have to go in and get the word. And then the next day, that same message is going to be moldy again, right? So you have to do it all over again each and every day. You can't store it up. You have to pursue it each and every day. Are you doing that? Are you pursuing God daily? That is the biggest question that you have to answer and go, am I pursuing? And then you can go, oh yeah, Mike, I am. I'm the most spiritual person you know. Okay. I believe you. Because if you are, then that's great. But the reality is, and the reality, we're probably rushing through it if we are doing it, and we're using it as a checkbox. I did that today. I just read my devotions. I did it. I did what I was supposed to do. Instead of truly going, I'm going to pursue Jesus. I'm going to pursue the bread of life. I'm going to do everything I can. And a lot of times that means that we have to start getting rid of other things. You know, I made the irresponsible decision to put a gaming system in my living room. And a couple nights ago, Monday night maybe, I got home and I said, you know what? I guess I'm going to jump on here for a little while. Complete a couple missions or whatever, right? 5 hours later. 5 hours later. And Melissa comes in from Bible study and she goes, what did the kids eat? I go, I don't know. She goes, well, what have you been doing? I said, you're looking at it. She goes, that's so irresponsible. And I go, yep. I said, but see, here's the thing, is that what happens is that we allow those distractions to take away from doing what we're supposed to do. 5 hours of video games. Now, was it worth it? I feel good. You know, so maybe I made some progress in the game. I did. You know, I went from playing for 17 hours to 22 hours on my thing. It says, you know, I played 22 hours in a game. I go, man, that's worth it. But see, here's the thing. What could I have done with that time? What could I have put it into? What could I have used it for towards, you know, in my household or trying to get things done? Because all we all say is there's just not enough time to get things done. There is. We're just wasting it. We're not pursuing the bread of life. We're not pursuing those things. What are we pursuing? What are we after? What are we chasing? I want to, so my mission for you today, and as you leave, I want you to walk out and I want you to go, today I will pursue the bread of life. That's what I want you to do. I want you to pursue the bread of life. I don't want you to look for the easy way. I don't want you to look for sliced bread. I don't want you to look for what's readily available at Walmart or what can be delivered by YouTube or Facebook or Instagram. I want you to truly pursue the bread of life. I want you to open up a Bible. I want you to spend time with Jesus. You know, and some of you have come off of the spiritual high. You were coming down, you know, coming down from the mountaintop, and you come down here and you're like, I'm ready for that. I'm ready to pursue that. And so for some of you, though, the others in this room, you're like, I'm tired, Mike, I'm tired. I just want to do something else. And I would encourage you is that you will find the greatest fulfillment of your life if you're actually pursuing Jesus. If you're actually pursuing, not the easy way, not just looking for the easy thing to be delivered to you, but if you're actually pursuing him, you will find the greatest fulfillment of your life. So I ask you to kick away the shortcuts. I ask you to kick away the whatever is preventing you from just going, hey, God, I'm ready to step into what you have for me. And I ask you to kick away. I'm not telling you to get rid of Netflix. I'm not telling you to get rid of your gaming systems. I'm telling you to put some limits on what you're doing. You know, like put some things and put some restrictions in place. You know, and I'm not saying give up the things that you have enjoyment with. But I'm saying is that, because that's not what God asked you to do. Nobody ever says, become a Christian and enjoy this boring life. You know, it's still about enjoying all the things, but it's about doing it in moderation. Paul says, do all things, but do it in moderation. And so let's get rid of some of the things that take away from everything else, and let's pursue those small things in moderation. Let's go, hey, let me just pursue Jesus, and I'll go after that. So today's mission as we leave, and I tell you that we're going to change this. We're not going to leave with worship, because I want you to leave on the final 2 points that I'm going to give you. I want you to leave with going, one, go find the bread of life. Pursue that. That's what I'm after. And then number two, come back next week with a friend. That's a mission. So, and you don't have to bring a friend that you like. You can just bring somebody that you'd be like, hey, you can come sit with this guy. But bring somebody with you. So, because I want you to know something. I just want you to know it's better when you share it with somebody. It's better when you share it with somebody. It is. It's the same thing with coffee. Coffee's better when you share it with somebody. A loaf of bread is better when you share it with somebody. It's better when you share things with other people. So, as you go out, pursue God. Chase after him. Start finding what is, you know, when you start looking at it and going, what makes his heart beat? It should be what makes your heart beat. And then bring somebody with you. Bring somebody that you go, hey, we can do this together. Well, I can share this loaf of bread with you. I can share this cup of coffee. We can just spend this time together. It's just better together. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Just thank you for today, and thank you for just this constant nourishment and this refreshing that we go, God, you just continue to give us this daily reminder and this daily nourishment. And Father, we ask that we start to pursue you instead of just looking for the easy way. You know, you ask in our prayers, give us our day, our daily bread. Give us this day of you. Just help us to pursue you. Help us to find nourishment in you. Help us to find what we need in you, and then help us to share it with other people. Help us to cast away the fears and the rejection that we might face, or the struggles that we may face, and that we just pursue you and really the purpose that you have for our life. Father, so many of us are wandering and we just feel lost at times. And we've faced so much heartache and struggle and strife, but you've placed all of that before us for a purpose. So we can share it with somebody, so we can help bring somebody closer to you be through it. Father, help us to see you through all of this and all the struggles that we have, and help us to see you as we pursue you daily. Help us to see you through the beauty in our world and even the strife that we see that's happening here. Help us to just remember that it's a world that is full of strife because people have free will. That they can make choices to follow you, or they can make the choice to abandon you. And Father, we choose to follow. We choose to follow, and sometimes we don't get to see all of the goodness that you deliver on this side, and we have to wait to the other. Help us to continue to have patience to wait to the other. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the mission that you've set before us. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. We all said, amen. Amen. Well, guys, remember, go and pursue that daily bread. And then next week, come back with a friend. See you then.